We've all heard this saying, practice what you preach. Well, us pastors are taking a preaching class, so I get to preach what I practice. Kind of interesting. In the news this past week, a former employee of a BC winery won't be getting his job back after thousands of liters of wine were accidentally flushed down the drain. This employee, his job was to transfer wine from one tank to the next. He left a valve open and 5,000 liters flushed down the drain, costing $162,000. This wasn't his first episode. 18 months earlier, he spilt 11,000 liters of wine. Hence, he no longer has a job. I'm sure if we went around in a circle or we took turns, we could all share of stories we've messed up, companies we've worked for, money we've lost, money we've valued things we've poured down the drain. I have. I used to run, it's called a wheel braider at my old employer. It was a big sandblasting machine. So the metal parts would come through there, and then the wheel abrader, the metal pellets would clean off the rust, the dirt, the grime, and then these metal parts would go into the wash and then get painted. There were some parts that couldn't get wheel abraded. They would be damaged. So I had to watch and make sure it got turned on and turned off so that parts that didn't need to get wheel abraded wouldn't. Well, I'd get distracted, I would be doing something else, and all of a sudden the parts that weren't supposed to be wheel abraded are coming through. Go talk to my supervisor, I wheel abraded hubs in this case. Okay, whatever, take them apart, get the guy to clean them out, and a week later, or 2 weeks later, a wheel abraded hubs again. And then a month later, I was sweeping and the parts had come through. Oh, a wheel abraded hubs again. I know the feeling. I feel sorry for this guy. I know the feeling. But we all understand the boss, right? The boss let it go once. The second time, he couldn't afford to keep this guy anymore. In the 50 years of this winery, it only happened twice. Poor guy. When it comes to sin, however, I think we know the feeling. I think we know what it feels like to, oh, I did it again. But we're not so vocal about it. We're not too open about that one. We don't want to share those mistakes. I'll be speaking from 1 John chapter 1. If you want to return your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. John is addressing a church in probably Ephesus, in the ancient Ephesus. John is the last disciple, the last apostle to still be around. All the other apostles have passed away. He's an old man by now, and he has a good relationship with his church. He loves this church. You can tell by reading his letter, he uses words like, dearly loved children, dearly loved, or some translations say, my beloved. He really loves this church. He has a deep care for them. After he had ministered to that church, false teachers came in and starting to spread false teaching. They had all kinds of misguided misinformation about who Jesus was. Some would say that Jesus was a phantom. He wasn't really a human being. He wasn't really God. They would focus on the spirit. The spirit mattered. Your body didn't. If you want to live a life of sin, go ahead. It's your spirit that matters. And so this message was getting into the church. And the church was getting mixed messages about what's true, what's right. Am I wrong? It appears that these false teachers probably were presenting a message that they were sinless. While the church is thinking to themselves, I still sin. What's wrong with me? The false teachers had a superior knowledge. Well, I don't know that much. And so I'm sure the church felt discouraged. They felt confused. And so John writes this letter. He addresses a few things. One theme he approaches is it's not what you know, it's how you live. In chapter 2, verse 9, the one who says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is in the darkness. So you can't say you love God and hate your brother. It's not what you know, it's how you live. John wants that message to come across. Another message he wants them to come across, he wants them to understand, is the importance of obedience. In chapter 3, verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another, just as he commanded us. It's important to know the commands of Jesus and to obey them. It's important to love. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And these believers were probably even wondering, do I even possess eternal life? Am I even a child of God? And so John wants to address that issue as well. Chapter 5, verse 13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. One theme that he wants to bring across, and it's in chapter 1, is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Let's read 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5, into chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from sin, from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. There's four things that I can find in this passage that talk about fellowship with God. Fellowship with God means fellowship with other believers. Fellowship with God means fellowship with other believers. We see that in chapter 1 in verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then again in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with God means fellowship with other believers. We see that from verse 3. We see it from verse 7. In verse 7 it says, we have fellowship with one another. And there seems to be some mixed interpretations of what that means. Some think it means fellowship with Jesus, with God. Some think it means fellowship with one another, with other people. I think it means fellowship with one another because it says we have fellowship with one another. In verse 3, we write this to you so that you also may have fellowship with us. And yet, is it possible to have fellowship with one another and not have fellowship with God? Or can you have fellowship with God and not fellowship with one another? If I have something against you, but I say I have fellowship with God, I'm pretty certain that God is going to convict me about my wrong with you. Or if I say, I have fellowship with you, we get along good, but I have no fellowship with God, pretty soon you're going to remind me of God in the conversation. It'll turn about God, and it'll remind me that I don't have fellowship with God. And so we need fellowship with each other if we have fellowship with God. I came up with a little rhyme, a little saying. It's kind of quirky, but it might help us to remember this phrase. Fellowship with God means giving others the nod. If you are my generation, my age and older, you'll get that from our church communion services. We used to have a tradition in this church that before the elements were handed out, or as you accepted your cup and your bread, you would nod to the person on your right and nod to the person on your left to say that I'm in fellowship, I'm on good terms with you, I'm on good terms with you. Fellowship with God means fellowship with other believers, or, help me with the other one, fellowship with God means giving others the nod. Right. Number two, fellowship with God means walking in the light. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with God means walking in the light. God is light. Light is measured by lumens. So I have some stuff, some information, and if I'm wrong, blame the internet. It's not me. A candle is 13 lumens. The average light bulb is 1,500 lumens. The sun is 10,000 lumens per square foot. So whatever that means, it's lots of lumens. In Revelation chapter 21, we're told of the new city, the new Jerusalem. And this is what it says. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. God is light. If God is light, that means I can't hide. I can't escape from his presence. I can't pretend. I can't shelter myself from God because God is light. Light exposes. Light exposes darkness. Darkness in this passage and others refers to sin. When we sin, we typically want to hide and cover ourselves, protect ourselves, pretend it didn't happen, make excuses, do everything we can to hide in our sin, in our darkness. I have a quote from Greg Gilbert about a definition of sin, and I think it's right. I think it's true. Sin is the breaking of a relationship. And even more, it is a rejection of God himself. Sin is a rejection of God himself. And so when God's light shines on us, we're exposed. We're ashamed. We're afraid. What did Adam say in the Garden of Eden when God came looking for him after they sinned? I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. And I think that's what you and I do when we sin. We're afraid, we're exposed, and we hide. Fellowship with God means walking in the light. I need to accept the light, embrace the light, allow God's light to shine into my life, expose whatever he needs to, so that I can have fellowship with God. Let's read John chapter 3, verses 19 and 21. John chapter 3, 19 to 21. Jesus is speaking. This is a judgment that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Verse 21, he who practices the truth comes to the light. That's you and I. That's children of God. That's believers. If we practice the truth, we come to the light. We willingly accept the light to shine into our lives and expose and reveal so that we can have fellowship with God. It says in verse 21, he who practices the truth, he who does the truth. In verse 6 of First John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We lie and do not practice the truth. It doesn't say we lie and do not tell the truth. It says we lie and do not practice the truth. What you say has to line up with what you do. It's a little bit challenging to nod your head and say the other one. So if I go like this and say, nope, no way, I have to think about what I'm doing. Or, yep, you bet. Yep, you got it. I can do it now, I'm thinking about it. But if I was on, like, if you were to randomly come to me and say, can I have a ride in your car? Yeah, you bet. Like it would automatically go this way. What we say has to line up with what we do, what we practice. And so we can't deceive God. We can't trick. We can't say one thing and do another. God, his light exposes that. And we need to practice the truth. We need to welcome the light. Fellowship with God means walking in the light. Third, fellowship with God means confessing our sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess means to say the same thing, to agree with God. I prefer to just simply say acknowledge. To confess your sin means to acknowledge your sin. Own up to it. In verse 7, it says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We are walking in the light, but we're not sinless because we still need the blood of Jesus to purify us. So no point can you ever say, I am sin-free, I am sinless, I am walking in the light, I am free from sin. John says, if you say that, you're lying. The light hasn't exposed that area of your life. In saying that, there's probably pride, and so right there, you've exposed yourself. Walking in the light means you're in constant confession about sin that the Lord exposes. When the Lord exposes it, you confess it. You're walking in the light. Just because I sin doesn't mean I'm not walking in the light. Because when the light shines on it, God will expose it, I'll confess it, and I'm walking in the light. When I'm hiding, when I'm protecting that sin and concealing it, then I'm walking in darkness. But walking in the light means I'm on a regular basis confessing my sin to God. And I need Jesus to cleanse me in that process. Fellowship with God means confessing our sin. We still need to confess our sin. And God forgives. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. If we confess, he will forgive. Now, John is talking to the church. John is talking to believers. And he's telling believers to confess their sin. Nowhere in Scripture do I find that an unbeliever needs to confess his sin to come to Christ. An unbeliever needs to put his faith in Jesus and repent. By repentance and faith, he comes to Jesus. The believer needs to confess his sins on a regular basis in fellowship with God. And so we have been forgiven. When I come to Christ, I put my faith in him. He took all my sin. I have been forgiven. The wrath of God has been poured on Jesus, and no longer do I need to pay for my sin, so to speak. I've been forgiven. But my fellowship with God will be affected if I harbor sin in my life. And so I need to confess that sin to keep my fellowship with God. Fellowship with God means confessing our sin. And fourthly, fellowship with God is possible because of Jesus. Fellowship with God is possible because of Jesus. Verse 7, once again. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Fellowship with God is possible because of Jesus. We seem to have a love-hate relationship with blood. I know you can play video games, shooter games, where you have to shoot people, and you can have the option of turning the blood on or off. You can choose. I was watching a show, King of Pain, and these guys allow themselves to be bitten by insects, scorpions, snakes, and they measure the pain. It's ridiculous, but that's what they do. And so these guys get bit by a python, and after the professionals take the python off, there's blood dripping down their arm. And some of you might think, oh, that sounds interesting. Others are saying, that's enough. No more, no more images of blood. That's good enough. We seem to have that relationship with the blood of Jesus in the church as well. Some might think, don't mention the blood of Jesus. That's not a very friendly term. And others say, no, we need to speak about the blood of Jesus. Let's just read a couple of passages. Actually, I'll read a couple of passages that talk about the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Revelation, we're told, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And here in 1 John chapter 1, we see that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We need Jesus' blood to be in fellowship with God. Chapter 2, verse 1 says that Jesus is our advocate. He's our lawyer. Jesus is our defense. When we are being accused, Jesus is our advocate. And he is advocating, he is defending us on the case of his blood. His blood has purchased our redemption. We've been set free because of his blood. The New American Standard uses the word propitiation in verse 2. Other translations say atoning sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice. Propitiation, or this word, atoning sacrifice, is a sacrifice that turns away the wrath of God. God's wrath needs to be poured out on sin. Like the boss, he can't let that customer or that employee work there anymore. He's losing money. That something has to be done. That wine was lost and needs to be recovered. Well, I guess the owner is going to have to suck it up. Well, in this case, the owner, God, has to pay somehow for your sin and my sin. And he chose to do that through his son, Jesus. And so the penalty, the the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. He became our propitiation. He became our atoning sacrifice. He absorbed the wrath of God so that we can have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is possible because of Jesus. Notice the word all. Chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of his son, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In chapter 2, verse 2, the New Living Translation says that he himself is a propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours only, but also for all the world. Jesus' blood paid for all our sin. The Son, the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful to give us all our sin. You and I can never think there is some sin that is not worthy to be covered by the blood of Jesus. There is no sin. There is no sin that the blood of Jesus can't cover. Jesus made possible for you and I to fellowship with God because of his blood. Because of his blood, we are cleansed from all our sin. So, I want to go back to our friend in BC who lost his job. Let's suppose for a minute that this guy has lost hundreds of thousands of dollars through draining the wine. This is in Kelowna. It's overlooking the lake, Okanagan Lake. The Okanagan Lake is a huge lake, 135 miles long, up to 5 miles wide, and up to 750 feet deep. So let's suppose that this wine owner has a tap to the lake, but the lake is actually not water, it's wine. And so this employer comes to the boss, to the owner, and says, I drained wine again, and I'm sorry. And so the owner says, I got you covered. We'll hook up the taps to the lake, and we'll fill up what was missing, because that's what that's there for. That reserve is there for when you mess up, I've got it covered. When you and I mess up, doesn't matter how big, how small, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sin. What's stopping you from fellowship with God? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have provided a way for us to fellowship with you. Humanly, it's not possible, but through your blood, the blood of your son, you made a way for us to have fellowship with you. And I thank you. If there are those who this morning who are not walking in light or walking in darkness, who are hiding, who are ashamed, that they would know that their sin is exposed because you are light and they can't hide, but that you welcome them to come into fellowship with you, that they would humbly acknowledge, confess, because of Jesus, and to know that that sin has been paid for. Remind us often that you desire fellowship with us and that we would desire that too. Give us that desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless. Have a great week.